The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 27th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about the culture of crisis. But considering that, it's going to be an open-line show, but I want to concentrate on this theme, a culture of crisis, and I believe that that something is happening to us as a country. And I believe it is cultural. And these cultural nuances is causing the feeling as if we are going through a crisis. So let's break it down. Let me break that down. Once upon a time, one of our leading politicians debunked the idea that we in the Bahamas has an immigration crisis. So, man, stop playing. That's not true, right? And the populace, and I would go on the limb to say the majority of the population feel an angst, saying, man, we do consider that one particular grouping seems to be outweighing a number of us. He's the immigration minister, no. The immigration minister said, no, we are handling it. We have a number of protocols and procedures that is dealing with the immigration situation, but it's far from being a crisis. But then again, I ask, do we have a culture crisis? And that the culture is making people uneasy, and that is why people are saying that there is a immigration crisis. But let's go further. Recently in Abaco, there's a proliferation of shanty towns, or the swelling of shanty towns. In fact, on every island, save Long Island, of course, there is a proliferation of shanty towns being built. In Abaco, they say that, man, it's not that people want to live like this. People are living like this because there aren't any houses. And we have that juxtaposed that the Minister of Housing is saying she's going to build like 10,000 houses within the 5-year period. It's going to be the most houses being built. But the proliferation of shantytown suggests something different, that there is a housing crisis. And people that say again, no, there's no housing crisis. These people just need to move and find housing someplace else. But building the shanty towns can be the norm. And then we hear that the prime minister said that, well, we can't oust these people out of the shanty towns immediately. So there's going to be a delay as we're going to give these people opportunity to find someplace to go. And you say, but isn't there a housing crisis? Is someone addressing that? And again, I have that juxtaposed to this culture of crisis. I'm going to read the definition of crisis to see if it fits. I saw a Progressive Liberal Party or governmental advertisement that is making its round on social media. And this advertisement highlighted that this government has increased minimum wage to $250 a week. Let me say that again. $250 a week. And they say, this is a good thing. Say, in gradual in time, hopefully in the future, they might increase it. But right now, this is something to be celebrated, and this is a feather inside the government's hat. And I said, I wonder how much money is $250 a week? And can someone, a Bahamian, survive? So I times that $250 by 4 and get $1,000 and realize that no house, no apartment is for $1,000 a week. So if you are making $1,000 a month, if you are making $250, that means you have no other choice but to live in a shanty town. You can't buy a grocery. You can't go to the doctor. You can't get insurance. You can't go to any fast food restaurant when you make $250 because all of that got to go on bills. You can't even buy a school uniform, books, right? You're just destitute, right? That's the working poor. That's our minimum wage, the working poor. And I'm saying, I now see why Bohemians are in Shantytown. But let's start talking about crisis. So I got a definition of crisis. A crisis, a time of intense difficulty or danger, a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. And I wonder, is that happening now? Are difficult decisions being made? Or these are everyday decisions being made now, so therefore it can't be a crisis, right? Another definition said a crisis, let me skip that and speak on something called crisis of skewed management value. I came across that whilst I was trying to find out what is crisis and how do you deal with crisis. See, when you label something a crisis, that means you have to evoke all of your resources. And we know that our government has not committed to evoke all of our resources. So therefore, it cannot be a crisis. It got to be something else, right? But I try to find out what is this crisis of skewed management value. And it says that's when management supports short-term growth and ignore broader issues. And I find perhaps that's what we're going through. We want things that are immediate, but not appreciating the repercussions or the long-term effect on things, right? So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that and try find some solutions, right? In the paper, we have the leader of the COI, and I find that the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party tends not to name him. He tends to be nameless. And I guess I will also have him nameless. Everyone knows who he is, right? Did a live Facebook thing. He does live all the time, right? In order to garner a viewership and people have people get in hysteria, right? In order to get likes. He went on a private land. This lady claimed to be the owner of this land. This lady claimed that she got a government grant land to farm. And on this government grant land to farm, she had one or two people living there, right? But she wants to evict them. They call the police, give notice of eviction, right? But the leader, and with this woman in tow, decided that they wanted to bulldoze these immigrants. Well, I'm not sure if all of my immigrants, but these people, homes. So he gave a eviction once or twice, and this time he came with the live. So this live is for our benefits, for us to watch in awe, shock and awe, to see what's happening. To say that he's doing things that have us terrified. And this is what I'm talking about, this culture of crisis. Because now people are watching this. For weeks, the PLP, the FNM, civic organization, NGOs, been watching the leader of this party and his antics. And I call this antics terrorizing people, putting people in fear, right? He went on this property with the police. He had the audacity to call the police and say, "Police, I need you to come with me to watch me bulldoze these people's house." And whilst he was there, he was asking, interrogating these people, "Who are you? Where's your? How long you been here? What is your citizenship papers? How you get on this land? And we here to bulldoze your house. You have a couple minutes to get out of the property. I gave you notice before. This is my third notice. This lady who owns land. You know, all the rigmarole type of things." And the police watched for a while. And I assume the police, and in their wisdom, realize that something is wrong. Something is wrong. This terrorizing of people is wrong, especially after a court ruling that the government must go to the courts. The leader of COBI, he didn't practice law. I don't think he passed the bar. He studied the law. right? So he's aware of the law. A deputy leader is a lawyer. But they found and say, hey, they didn't care about what government planned to do. They plan to come on this land and tell these people, put them in fear, women and children, that we can bulldoze your house today. We ain't going to no court no more. This is my house. This is my property. And I'm going to bulldoze it flat. Terrorize. And I say, people, watch. No one said, no, we got to nip this in the bud. Let's see what type of legal arm or legal frame that we can stop this terror that this gentleman is doing. They're just watching, right? So I said, clearly we have a crisis. We have a crisis because we are now invoking a culture amongst a working class people who are so vexated in spirit that they're now taking things in their own hand. And this is what my concern is. The Progressive Liberal Party, and by extension, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Philip Davis, is responsible for the antics of the COI leader. It comes under his watch. So if there's a proliferation, a growth of these terrorists, people who terrorize people, under this PLP watch, the PLP must be held accountable for it because they have a duty of care to make sure residents and Bahamians are not terrorized. We are in crisis, but I think our crisis is our culture, and and what we're seeing, the shortage of houses, this immigration problem, this crime problem, this health problem, this economic problem, are symptoms of selfishness. Symptoms of selfishness, symptoms of individualism, not caring for the general public at large, not caring for society. And that's what it is. We have a culture of individualism where people do not care. Right? I just get a text from Leonard Sands just now. It's a man disappointed with this particular topic. Hi, Leonard. I'm glad you listen. And this is Leonard's my friend. And he mentioned inside the news that recently that we depend on Creole labor. And that if we have any mass exodus of Creole labor, that's those of Haitian descent and of course, illegal immigrants, that construction industry will hurt or falter. I'm not sure if that's necessarily true. But again, it's indication of a crisis because the audacity to say it means that there is something sinister we need to deal with because that's supposed to be impossible. Right? And that means that we need to work and address that issue. Right? So this is what our conversation about. What is causing this angst that makes people feel that we are in a crisis? Right? So I want to talk about that. I see members of the same political organization, this fledgling political organization, is planning a protest in the United States. You hear me? They tired of protesting right here. They're going abroad asking people to buy plane tickets to join another Bahamian abroad where they paid to get a license to have a protest against the Bahamian government. Said they are being victimized by the behavior of Lord have mercy. They are being victimized by the Bahamian government, so they have to go to a foreign country to highlight the ineptitude. See, it don't make no sense, but I think we're in crisis. That's what I'm trying to say. And the crisis is our culture. But I have a caller here, and I want to pass the caller through. Let me engage them. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, how are you? I'm always good, man. Blessings to you.
Okay. So, full disclosure, it's your friend Leonard Sand calling.
How you doing, Leonard?
Engage in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things that I think has to be obviously. You're taking the position, which you have a right to, that we have a culture of crisis. And you know what? You may be correct. But I think the discussion and narrow the focus on the culture of crisis. The culture of crisis arises when possibly there are instances and situations that happen in a country of laws where everyone is subject to the law of the land. And the response to breaking of the law is not witnessed by the population. Imagine, Tia, if it were you, and you came home and someone entered your house, and you called the police station, you asked for a constable to come to your house, and they didn't respond. And someone comes the next day, break into your house, you call the police station, and no one responds. After a while, not only would your family be terrorized by the seemingly lack of response to your crisis, that they lose faith then in the system that are set up to protect them.
And
now
I want to pause you there, Leonard. I want to correct your narrative because I don't understand it.
You can't go.
No, I want you to give me another example because I can't see it. No, no. 1 minute, Leonard. 1 minute. Let's use the same narrative, but let's use the word property. They come on your property because that's what we're dealing with. But the house one doesn't make sense. The house let's use the property.
Let's understand.
Go ahead. Now, they come
onto your property, CA, and you call the police
mm-hmm.
to protect the quiet possession of your property,
mm-hmm.
which is still your lawful right.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
And you call again,
mm-hmm.
and someone trespassed, and they didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 10 times, guess what? You realize that, guess what? The police is never going to respond to my situation.
Did you go to the court?
You go to the court? No, let me say,
you then
will feel like you are in a crisis, right? Let's assume that. That's how you would maybe made to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to speak to address the particular matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I'm the citizen now,
mm-hmm.
I am a bit concerned when there are instances where persons feel like the response of the government or whoever agency is responsible for managing the resources of the country and or the protection of their properties may not be responding to them and they feel in crisis.
I could be happy.
And that's all I wanted to comment on that. Now, we're not talking about the actions that happened.
No,
taxpayers out there who have to shoulder the burden collectively of paying your VAT and paying your real property tax and doing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you recognize that there's a growing number of persons
mm-hmm.
who somehow sidestep all of that and inhabit things. I think that's where...
And Leonard, the idea
of crisis probably emanates. Let me
engage you there. I hear your concern. The concern is echoed throughout the Bahamas. We are concerned, and this is where the debate is between the government saying that there's no crisis because there are avenues one can pursue, and because crisis means that all of the avenues have been exhausted, right? I ask you, in this example, did the person go to the court in this example? Because if you haven't exhausted all of the avenues, it cannot be a crisis. And that's the point.
Can I respond to that then?
Go ahead.
I don't know what processes the person may have went to.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I would assume. CA, I own property.
Mm-hmm.
If I come to my property and I meet a structure on my property,
mm-hmm.
and it's Sanders' property,
mm-hmm.
I ain't asking nobody to move something off my land. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
What I paid for. What I pay real property tax for, which I maintain, which I secure, I'm not doing that. Now,
go ahead.
The instances where I cannot speak to, what are the relationship they had, whether the person was renting XYZ, and I could agree that showing up anywhere and giving somebody 20 minutes and whatever, of course, that's unreasonable. we all understand that that was for theatrics, and we would not want that to happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say that I think the wider thought, though, was that if I own my situation, that is mine, that I maintain, I have a right to determine who is on my space, if it is the understanding of everyone once we came into agreement. And I can't speak to none of that. So I think you're right. This is a conversation that needs to happen. But at the same time, imagine you went away, CA, mm-hmm. and your family left you some acres of land, and let's say Andrews. And you came back and you met 10 houses on your land in Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give anyone permission to build it there, mm-hmm. but you met it there now.
Mm-hmm.
What should be your response to do? You should go and file legal applications for pricing to move land. No, you're not going to do. You can say, hey, I have a development slated for my land. I'm going to give you all, whether it's 60 days, 90 days, whatever, mm-hmm. to get off my land because it's mine. And I want you to be removed from it. So, CA, I think we all are in a crisis of our mind sometimes when there's inactivity or inaction. And I would encourage everyone to look at all of the ramifications of this
mm-hmm.
because it is easy to point a finger at the person who is illegally using the land, but also there's a responsibility to the person who allowed that possession to happen. And there's a final responsibility of the law of the land to be followed in all instances.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I'll respond to that right now. Yes,
right.
I always appreciate when you do call. There are courts. There are systems. There are procedures that behemoths must go through. That's why you say you have to pray to Jesus. No, what would Jesus do? Just because the other person is sinning next to you doesn't mean that you have a right to sin too. That means you're all damned to hell. The idea is, and I'm using this example from what we saw on the live, because I know you're referencing that, right? I would assume that if the first sections did not work, right? The avenues did not work, you exhaust all of your avenues before you say, I'm going to demolish. The same way how a landlord cannot take down the door of their tenant house because they didn't pay the rent and evict them. It's a justice we need to go through. We need to investigate why these people are on the land, why they think they have title on the land, and then exercise your right. But we have a short commercial break right now. We'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio in the AM. I see you callers on the line. We'll be right back. We'll have you call back and speak. We'll be right back.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets@carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2023 is International Women's Day, a day celebrated globally as a focal point in the women's rights movement, bringing attention to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. Equity isn't just a nice to have, it's a must have. A focus on gender equity needs to be a part of every society's DNA, and it's critical to understand the difference between equity and equality. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly embrace equity. It's not just something we should say, not something to just write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in, unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to embrace equity. Guardian Media wants you to celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. Embrace equity.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. And we are having a discussion on the culture of crisis. And I'm saying that our culture is causing a crisis. And that the crisis is showing symptoms. And the symptoms that we're showing, that is being shown, is the immigration issue, the health issue, the economic issue, the housing issue. And until our culture is adjusted, that these issues will continue to show up, that we are not addressing the issues. And one of the issues that is not being, what is causing this issue, these issues, is individualism, where we are so selfish and just looking for our own pockets, looking for monies, instead of the growth and development of the Bahamas, the growth and development of the people. Therefore, these so-called crises continue to rise. I'm saying that there is a housing shortage because the millionaires, the multi-millionaires in the Bahamas, do not necessarily appreciate the fact that there are people in the Bahamas making $250 that they can help. Instead, they prefer to build hotels. And you say, man, rich people can use their money and do with their money all they want. And if the people, Bahamians, suffer, too bad. Let them suffer. No one has a duty of care to these people. And I say, nay, rich people have a duty of care to working class people. And if they don't have the duty of care, I said, let these working class people rise above their tall security walls and eat them. That's what I say. But we have another call right there. Pastor caller, there through there, please. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, CA. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know, I was listening to the president of the Contractors Association.
Go ahead.
Who is defending, that's Mr. Sands.
Yes, that's Mr. Sands.
Who is defending his position of being out in the crisis. You know, I don't know, honestly don't know exactly what these people will describe as a crisis, or where do we have to go in order for them to accept the fact that we're in a crisis. You know, when you go to the PMH, don't you see a crisis when you go to PMH?
The government has concluded that there are issues that PMH is going through, but it's not a crisis. And the reason why it's not a crisis...
Everything is relative. It may not be a crisis for them because they can hop on the plane and go away. But when you're seeing people laying on bed, on gurneys, and can't get served because of the massive bed shortage, but if they won't call it a crisis then, so be it. But only you feels it knows it. When you go in the classroom, when you look at the classroom space, when people are saying that they have 75% of their population is from one particular nationality, if that isn't a crisis, then so be it. But we know better. Only you feel. I mean, look, here it is now. CA, do we know how many immigrants? Either you're on work permit, either you're on permanent residence, but do we know how much immigrants we have in the Bahamas? Anyone knows?
We do census every 10 years. We definitely know, or should know, how many immigrants we have in the Bahamas.
If you're doing it every 10 years,
so I say, so I say, yes, we do know.
Fine, but let me see you get that number, and I expect you to release it on your show tomorrow, or whenever you get to do it.
Well,
and I guarantee you, chicken will grow teeth before you produce those numbers.
Well, we just did the census, so when they publish the census, I will release the same information when the census people release it. And
yeah,
I'll be the official information
of
the Bahamas.
They don't engage everybody, no, so you'll never know.
But we know, as you know, no census engage everybody. It's a science.
You'll never know. You can only guess.
But
right now, the government is going to build a new hospital. Do we know exactly how many beds we need?
We know it based on the census.
You know, but it's obvious we don't know because we've been experiencing this bed shortage now for 20 years. So this ain't a new phenomenon. It's not a new phenomenon. When you check out that dialysis unit, persons, their times will have to be reduced because they don't have sufficient dialysis machine to deal with the amount of patients. But if you say we're not in a crisis, then so be it. But only who feels it knows it. And until, but there's a certain democracy about affliction, about ups and downs, affliction and death. It comes to us all. So when, God forbid, that me or you have to go on it before we determine that there is a crisis. You understand? As long as these certain democracies isn't affecting us, we say we are not in a crisis. But that's fine. That's fine. But we all know that we are in a crisis. When you go you're trying to find an apartment, it's clogged. So, but if you said we're not in a crisis, that's fine. But we know CAC, look, EU comes with equity, must first come with clean hands. And I'm hearing a lot of people speaking, but they're not really addressing the issue. I look at legislation that is creating this problem. We're not discussing the Nationality Act. Some of us never read the Nationality Act. But if you read it, you will see with your own eyes the blatant corruption. No politician who is approving all of these work permits can give us a clear understanding about how much carpet, how much laborers we have in the Bahamas, how much farmers we have in the Bahamas, how much maids we have in the Bahamas on work permits. Nobody seems to know. But we are saying that we are not in a crisis and we are building the country. Who are we building this country for?
That's always a tough question, and I appreciate that part. I appreciate that. Who are we building this country for? But I have another call.
Fine. That's not a problem, but we are being displaced. And nobody is paying attention. But there will come a time when someone will rise up and address this problem adequately so we all can protect what is ours, which is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you very much, caller. Patrick, next caller through. I believe that a segment of the Bahamas is being terrorized. I know what terrorized looks like and feel like. And someone must say it out loud, or this is not going to end well. We all are putting our heads in the sand and say, no, let's be nice. Until it goes badly, until it goes south, and you say, okay, someone should have said something. I just decided to say something today. Go ahead, Aquila. How can you hear?
Can you hear me? Good morning, Mr. Neary.
How you doing, ma'am?
It's fine, thank you, sir. Listen, I don't understand what this woman is doing concerning this illegal immigration. I starting to feel like they are either afraid of these people or they just don't care. And I refuse to believe that they just don't care. You know, I feel more like it's fear of these persons turning against them or turning on them because there's so much of them. And I can see that we are in a crisis because everywhere you look, they outnumber you. On the bus, they outnumber you. In the hospital, they outnumber you. In the schools, they outnumber you for the most part. So how are we not in a crisis? You know, Mr. Mitchell said, and the statement that he made that Haiti is in a crisis, but we're not in a crisis. How is that possible?
And it all boils down to the definition of crisis. The issue is crisis means that everything does not work. Nothing works. And the politicians, and I guess by me by extension, is saying that Princess Margaret Hospital works. It don't work properly, but it works. Our judicial system works. Sometimes take a while, but it works, right? Our education might be flawed for a large number of people, but I go into a public school, semi-educated, so it works. So it can't be a crisis. It might be a strained situation. But the word crisis means nothing works. Are you saying that nothing works in the Bahamas?
No, I'm not.
Then it cannot be crisis.
That,
we need to have a different word.
What I say is prevention is better than cure.
Yes.
Because then you can prevent us from reaching that crisis as you clearly stated then we would be in a better position. But
yes.
when you sit down and do nothing, that's telling me at some level that you are waiting for me to get in a crisis.
Yes.
Because if you see, look what Lincoln Bean and the lady went to do. I kind of blame the lady, to be honest with you. I blame her because it's her property. All these houses didn't pop up there overnight. She would have seen these houses over time and said nothing. So she literally put herself in that position to be in that she's in today.
And as we...
And for the most part, a lot of Bohemians have done that over the years, is why we are where we are. How they say, hold on, no. I only rent my place to you. You can't bring somebody else in here. So I'm sorry, sir or ma'am, you have to leave. It wouldn't be where it is today.
Okay, let me come into that. I appreciate you calling. Always when you call, I enjoy a phone call. I'm not sure the details, and I don't want to blame the lady. And as the information comes out, and we can hash it out more, I was made to understand that this was government crown land that the lady was leasing. That the ownership of the land is the government, and she has stewardship over it, right? And that is supposed to be farm land. And then it just gone AWOL. Culture caused it to go AWOL, right? And this is where I'm saying our culture must be adjusted. And when our culture is adjusted, we will no longer be saying that we have these crises. We need to now fix ourselves. But let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? There's nobody there? Caller, can you hear me?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, man.
How you doing, Mr. Theory Nuri?
I'm always well, man.
Yeah. Mr. Nuri, I agree with you when you say, we have a culture crisis, you know, but I believe we could take it a little further than that, Mr. Nuri, because, you know, these things that keep occurring in our country is based on the crisis we find in our governance, man.
Mm.
You know, you can't tell me we ain't have no crisis and leaders in this country, because none of them works. That's what you said.
Gotta be one or two works.
Crisis is right, but let's bring it right home. Right, none of our leaders work for the bombers.
I don't say that. Philip Davis is working. He might not be working to satisfy you, but I can see working.
No, but see,
Fred Mitchell is working.
Again, right?
Right.
We can't.
Shannon Dawn Cartwright is working.
Who they're working for, Mr. Nuri? They obviously are not working for the Bahamian people. Let me give you the next example, right? Why I say they are not working for the Bahamian people? Because every law that was formed in this country, it appears that it was only formed to govern and rule Bahamian people. Because here we have a whole place called the Ministry of Works,
mm-hmm.
What is responsible for building control, right? And then they have a next segment called, or department called, town planning, right? Now, we have an issue in this country with shanty towns creating illegal buildings. All of this is governance. Before people even need to get to the talking, but taking somebody to court, what about how come the government ain't reached their place to take these people to court for breaking the blatant laws that they are doing, man? We just can't continue blaming Bahamians when they stand up. Now, I personally have nothing against no Haitian in this country, but when it comes to illegal activities, and I can look and see that Bahamian people are being taken advantage of when it comes to them standing up for their rights, and our government, right, with the twin towers, I just call them, the record shows that our town planning and our building control situation in this country been dead. That's even a crisis.
It's a challenge. It's not a crisis. Our town planning has challenges, but it's definitely not.
They have challenges.
There's definitely no crisis.
They have severe challenges, right? And the challenges that they have, it is rimming over to the Bahamian people and creating challenges for us, because now we finding ourselves we are all behemoths. We don't hate people.
I agree.
We love people. But how I can feel that every place I go, I can't hear me. Every place I go in this country is impossible for these people, all of them, to have work permits, right? It's impossible.
And caller, let me comment on that, because I have a couple more callers, and I appreciate all of that. All that you say, I appreciate, because it needs to be said out loud, and I appreciate you calling. I still say the problems that we are facing is our culture. And until we adjust our culture, right, these things will continue to proliferate, right? From the issues we have in the hospital, from the issues of what happened at immigration, from the issues that happened at housing, from the building of these unregulated places, from them getting electricity, from them being able to drive past security and police officers and create a whole church and buildings, whatever it is a culture of we ignoring it, saying, man, I only care about myself and not necessarily them. We are prepared to have people live in slums. And not just immigrants, no. We are prepared to have Bahamians live off East Street in the worst conditions ever. There are still Bahamians who live off of East Street who got to go into bathrooms in plastic bags. There's no running water. And this culture has now proliferated to an immigration issue or immigration culture who said, man, if they could do that, and I'm at the bottom, I could do that too. It's our culture that we need to adjust. We have another caller there. Pass the caller through there. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Okay, well, caller, sorry about that. I was talking too long, right? But my point is that who should have a duty of care to rectify, to arrest, to adjust these things that we are watching? Right, we now have politicians who are going abroad. You say, "Oh man, they doing what the government?" I have one text. Oh, he doing what the government should be doing, right? And I don't necessarily approve him going abroad and saying that he protesting against the government. I mean, you could do it. I just don't see that makes no sense. I think that's anti-Bahamianism, right? I don't believe it's addressing any of the issues, and I find that they are anarchists. And promoting anarchy instead of trying to find solutions. And I want to know, what are the 10 solutions this political party is bringing to the fore? Say, these are the steps we need to do to improve the Bahamas, and this is how it's going to be improved. Not saying bulldoze the whole place and let anarchy reign. We have another caller there. Let me pass your caller through, because I know you're talking long. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA.
How you doing, man?
Blessings continually, sir.
Inshallah.
I can hardly hear you.
Forgive me. I can hear you, though.
But great show. And continue to shine the light on this matter, sir. But I would like to say, sorry, that I know you drew reference to the over-the-hill areas and the areas there where basically there's substandard living. We need to blame. Government needs and all the authorities need to put the control on the situation, because there's a number of landowners, rent collectors, who are allowing persons to live like that.
Mm.
And if you can recall, sir, back in, I think it may have been quite a while back, I think it was Branville McCartney, if I remember, when he had shut down that Chinatown there in Seabreeze Lane area, among other areas. Many of those persons then, they moved into those areas, in the over-the-hill areas, Grandstand, Baintown, and the scenarios, wherever there was an unoccupied house.
Mm-hmm.
And they took possession of it. Okay? The sad reality is that the real owners of those persons didn't go back and see how that land saw. And if they allowed them to stay there, they probably allowed them to stay there for a small fee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know of a particular area where persons were sent to dilapidated buildings to live.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to tell them, no, you're a human being. You don't deserve to live like this. This is below human dignity. And you deserve better than this. And so we have to speak up against and speak out against such injustice, I call it. human injustice. But Bahamians, stop selling our birthright for a bowl of porridge, for 50 lucre. Enough is enough is enough.
Thank you very much,
ma'am. Authorities, deal with the matter, please.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless you. And the caller's right. I still believe it's our culture. Our culture is causing all of these things that is happening to us. And then we cry foul. Right? Is this an individualism where we think about ourselves first? We are prepared to have people live in shanty towns. We are prepared to have people go to the pump and no have no inside toilets. We're not saying, hey, this cannot, we will not tolerate. It is us who is causing this to happen. Then we say, no, it's the government, because the government wants to do things. But the government is us. We vote for them every 5 years. They represent us. And I say, is our culture. And when I'm seeing people saying they turn vigilantes, some people say, oh, I can't call the people vigilantes. Some people say, I can't call say the people I'm terrorizing, the people them, right? But God forbid that one day people get so vexated in spirit that it becomes violent. And the international community said, my God, look at the massacre happening and nobody interjecting. And I'm saying that you see it coming. You see it coming. Someone must say something and say, stop. Because it can go too far. And when it goes too far, it can't be reversed. You just can't say, but no one was listening to me. And so I became frustrated. Therefore, I did. No, let's arrest this now. But anyway, let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Jury.
Go ahead, Mike Sparky.
Our government told us when they was campaigning that if we vote for them, they're going to stop this foolishness from happening. They're going to correct the situation. That's what they told us.
That's what they said. I remember hearing
that. Every time they campaign, every 5 years, they're going to fix the problem. But just get us in the house first. Now I'm reading from page 3 of the leased land document. On page 3 it says, to refrain from building, constructing, or erecting any concrete or other immovable structure for the purpose of a dwelling house or residence, including apartments, condominiums, townhouses, or any such structure for any other purpose. It says that on the document for the leased land, for crown land, for farming. It's only for farming, not building churches, not building apartments and condominiums. It states that on page 3 of the document. I have it in my hand for my farmland. But we've been saying this and writing this and giving this out to people for over 26 years from 1994, when we opened up the airwaves, people have been crying about this. Before that, politicians and members of the House Assembly and ministers of immigration was talking about this over past 26 years. More than half of the amount of years that we get to celebrate our independence. Are you telling us now that nobody knows this going on?
Can you imagine that? Put this past you to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? I have about six more minutes.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning.
Yeah, I always could appreciate Sparky. If every PSP supporter was like Sparky, we'd have a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Because the real situation is the government. They called it a call before. I'm going to talk about the legality of the shantytown, the work permits, Ministry of Housing, etc., right? This problem could easily be solved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a culture of corruption and just lack of law enforcement, because some of these things are on the books. So work permits. So automatically, this can be solved. You just have, you have a work permit. So then you need to show land ownership before you build. So circumvent the law, and then you saying the Bahamians are being victimized here, because why isn't the media or nobody talking about how they broke the lady house down on the land? Now, what I'm saying is, they said she allowed this community to fester, right? But, you know, what's the significance in that when the government is responsible for enforcement? They enforce our laws.
But 52, right? So, it's in the newspaper, the media doing their part. They reported the news. What you mean the media ain't doing it in the news?
What I'm saying is, I was following this up on Facebook. She said that they destroyed her house and told her.
I hear that she had a house on the government lease land for farming.
Not just a one-way paradigm, but who's being victimized. What I'm saying is, Mr. News,
I hear she had a house on the farming land.
Listen to me. Why are these people pulling? We need to pull together, and we need to solve this crisis. I don't want to get into the semantics about dilemma, crisis, quagmire, you know what I mean? You know the crisis. I don't need to get into all that. We have a crisis. We have a dilemma. And the reason why it's festering is because lack of government enforcement. These people care not about us, all right? This is a parallel society being developed here. And we have PSYOPs offices. I know you should know what a PSYOPs office is. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is now. So what we need to is people to really do their job, and we'll have a better country. And we should not be... I wonder if I was hearing right when the person was telling you, immigration say, what are they to do? They already deport this amount of people and that amount of people.
They're bragging.
Just do what the Vietnamese people say. Just do the law. You. People are... Mr. Nui.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they only concentrating on these shanty towns when the most of the people dwell in the inner city, where I is. Most of them. Yep. And I know most of them, but I'm saying it's seeing too much strangers. So the question then becomes, if the scenario ends up like what you're saying, who's responsible for this? The government has endangered the lives and the national security of the country by being lousy. Bless up.
I have one more caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, going once. Caller, going twice. And I hear the concern. I hear the angst. And these tough conversations must be had, right? We must challenge what is happening. I see we challenge the government. The government, I see the headlines, the chairman of the PLB say, what else do you want us to do when they're doing everything right now? And the Bahamian people are saying, more can be done. But I don't necessarily think that terrorizing people is the answer. I am concerned about that because I know what terrorizing people causes. It causes people to react. And I can't afford to hear in the news violence erupted when people could have speak out. And when people could have said, hey, let's push pressure government to do their job. But when you start taking government a job in their hand, it can cause chaos. Go ahead, pass the caller through. I'm trying to get all the callers in before I go. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead.
Make it quick.
CA, did I hear you correctly calling Lincoln and his group anarchists and what's the other strong terrorists? That's some strong word.
I didn't use the word terrorist. I think terrorizing.
All right, so which is a terrorist? So
No. I get definition. I just say one is terrorizing, one is terrorist. The terrorist is one who's bomb things and things. Terrorizes when you go and knock on people's door and threaten them. You can bulldoze their house. See, two different things. Use the right words, man. Can't be putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I say terrorizing. Go put you the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Go on once. And we may say that the COI group is a hero, that they're doing things that the government is not prepared to do, that they are prepared to go on people's land and bulldoze it without the court order. They are prepared to detain people and have citizen arrest and lock them up without going to the police. That they're prepared to shoot gun into the air. And a vigilante justice, right? We may think that is all cute until it get out of the hand. I didn't see it get out of the hand. We need to speak out against it. Anyway, it's 12 o'clock. Let's go to the news. Have a nice day.